Gospel of John, as we continue in our series, In Times Like These. In Times Like These, and the focus of the message today is stay faithful in the Word. In times like these, stay faithful in the Word. Last week, we talked about stay focused on Christ. When the world distracts us today, we're going to be talking about stay faithful in the Word when the truth seems to evade us. When the truth seems to evade us. John chapter number 17, we're going to pick it up in verse number 6. John 17 and verse number 6. We're going to read responsively, which means I'll read the even verses, you read the odd verses. And there is two things I want you to take note of in this passage here. One is the word world. The connotation here in this prayer of Jesus Christ as he's praying to his Father is for the disciples and for those that would believe on him afterwards, which would be you and I, and the impact that it's going to have on the world and the impact that the world would have on them. But also the next phrase is thy word. Thy word. Jesus mentions it several times here, three times to be exact, in the passage that we'll be reading, thy word. Those two words or phrases, thy word and world. I'll start with this in verse number 6, then you join in with the odds today. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and would declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the Lord's Prayer. I know we look at the Our Father and we call it the Lord's Prayer, but that was just the model prayer, the example prayer that he gave to the disciples to pray. This is actually the Lord's Prayer that he prayed to his Father about you and I and about the disciples and about the effect that the world would have on them. And he prayed this to strengthen them and to let them know some things that were ahead of them. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 17. He said, this, sanctify them through thy truth. And notice this, thy word is truth. Sanctify means to be set apart from the world to God for his use to fulfill his will. And Jesus said, you know what? My word's going to go out. My word is to set you apart from the world, to set you apart unto God, to do God's will. He said, that's what my word's all about. And so he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You and I can live in times like these when all around us is changing and all around us is chaos, when we stay faithful in the word of God, because the word of God is truth. The word of God is faithful. The word of God is tried. The word of God is tested. And Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart by thy truth. And he says, you know what? He said, your word is truth. Father, help us today. As we look at the times in which we live and we look at society and all that is around us, and Lord, there were changing times as Jesus penned these words down with his lips and gave it to the great writer, the Holy Spirit, to pen down by the hand of John. And Lord, we thank you that the Word of God is still truth, and we can still be sanctified by it. And Lord, I pray that as we look around us today at the times in which we live, and Lord, we might not get alarmed because these things you said would happen. But Lord, help us to look around so that we can look up to you and recognize that the Word of God is where we need to look. And the answers are going to be found in the Word of God, and we can be sanctified by the truth, and we can live the truth, and we can love the truth. Lord, as the Word of God goes out today, help us that are here, that love it, and that desire to live it, Lord, and do our dead level best to be led by it, Lord, to gain a blessing today that we may stand in times like these. These are chaotic times. These are confusing times. All around us seems to be changing, and these are some very difficult times to be a Christian. But at the same time, at the time that the disciples were with you, Lord, it was difficult as well. And you said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God, help us to be sanctified today by the word of God, that a world that's around us that hates us will see Jesus Christ in us. And although they hate us, they will know that we gave them the truth of the word of God. May they see a people set apart, sanctified for the master's use. God, help us today to understand the truth of this passage, as well as the adjoining passages that we'll look at today as we look at this introduction today. That, Lord, that we might love the word of God. Lord, we love and believe and stand on the King James Bible here. Lord, we know it's been tried and tested and proven, and many have gone away from it. Lord, we'll stand with it. We're going to stick with it. We're going to stay with it until you come and take us home. Lord, may that same truth of the Word of God be that which carries us in times like these. If there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ, if they don't know that if they were to die, they'd go to heaven, they don't have that assurance, I pray today that the assurance that Jesus Christ is their Savior can be theirs. The song said, in times like these, you need a Savior. And Lord, help that man, woman, boy, or girl to recognize the Savior they need in Jesus Christ. Guide us today in our sermon. Speak through me the word of God, and Lord, say through me the things that need to be said. Encourage hearts, minds, lift up Jesus that he may be magnified. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We do have one more special this morning.
Oh, Lord, how marvelous you, oh Lord, how marvelous is your name. Amen. By the way, it's at the name of Jesus that the folks are going to bow and have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. One day it's going to happen. It's better to bow now than to bow later. Amen. Because when you bow later, the fate is already sealed. Amen. It'll be too late. And so praise God, how marvelous the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. Well, we're in the series right now, if you're here for the first time, and the series is called In Times Like These, and we're talking about the things that are going on in our society right now that seem to be changing, and how you and I as Christians can be able to stand in changing times. By the way, times are changing. If you have not noticed that, look around. Times are changing. And, you know, it's unprecedented waters that we're in right now. We're on the verge of possibly electing the first woman president in the history of the United States. Never happened before. It's already been the first one nominated as president. And so a lot of things are happening. And I tell you, I am one person that's looking to see how God's going to use all of what's about to happen in America. I know this. Whatever's going to happen in America, he's going to use you and I. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? He's going to use his chosen people to do some things and to get some things done. I know whether they're up in the White House, whether they're in the House of Representatives or the Senate, or whether they're at the state's capitol here, whether they're in the city council here in Tucson, he's going to use God's people somehow, some way, whether it's by our prayers or by our participation, to get some things done. Amen. And so be on the lookout for that. Notice this phrase, thy word. I want to draw your attention to verse number 6 in John 17. He says, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept. Notice that phrase, thy word. Come down to verse number 14. I have given them thy word. Jesus said, I've given these disciples thy word. And notice this, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He said, you know what? I've given my word to the disciples, and the world doesn't seem to like them. You know, the more that you stand for Jesus Christ, the more the world's going to hate you.
Oh, yes.
Amen. I've seen it played out in my own family. Sometimes I'll send G2 or Faith or Joshua to one of their siblings, and I will say, this is my word. Give it to your brother or your sister, and they will be the messenger. And do you know that the person that's on the receiving end of the message gets mad at the messenger? Well, if you hadn't come and told me, I would have to stop what I was doing. Well, the fact of the matter is, I did tell you, so you got to stop. And they normally get the brunt of it because they're not going to tell it to me. But they will tell it to each other. And so the messenger often gets the brunt of it. He said, the world's going to hate you. Be mindful of this. I'm going to give you my word, and people aren't going to like you. Verse 17, he comes back and says, sanctify them, or set these apostles apart from the world unto you through your truth. Thy word is truth. So going down through here, Jesus praying for these disciples about their interaction with the world and the interaction between you and I with the world. He says, I'm going to lift and elevate these folks up that they can live and know what's going on. By the way, you and I are in verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us giving a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is us giving the gospel to people about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's you and I telling people that, hey, there is a Savior. And in times like these, you need a Savior. Preacher, why do I need a Savior? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why people need a Savior. That's why the world hates us oftentimes, because we have good news, but people have bad news. They're in sin. And everybody without Jesus Christ is in danger. And Jesus said, I'm sending you out. But not just for you, I'm sending others out afterwards. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Today, as we continue our series in times like these, the emphasis is going to be on staying faithful in the word when truth seems to evade us. I'm going to give us an introduction today, and we'll finish it up next week. Staying faithful in the Word when truth seems to evade us. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? The word evade means to slip away. It means to avoid dealing with or facing. It means to be elusive or to dodge. Jesus would have this question asked him by Pilate. What is truth? Jesus began to tell him all the things about the truth and what the truth was all about. And I'm doing these things by truth. And Pilate came back and said, what is truth? You know, today in the times in which we live, truth is relative to a lot of people. I say it's black. You say it's shades of charcoal. I say it's white. You say it's beige. I say it's green. You say it's Kelly. Everybody, truth is relative. There's no more black and whites, it seems. It seems like back in the days when men were men and women were women, that line has been crossed. And truth is evading us, it seems. When Pilate asked him, what is truth? We already know the answer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, you know, Pilate, you can't really do anything if it were not given to you. Truth is that which is factual. It is that which is honest. It is that which is unbiased. And that's why Jesus could say, I am the way. I'm factual. I'm honest. I'm unbiased. I am the truth. I'm factual. I'm honest. I'm biased. I am the way. I'm factual. I'm honest. I'm unbiased. There is no other way. And some people don't like that because it's black and white. And people don't like that. Well, what about Muhammad? Muhammad didn't die for anybody's sins. I'm sorry. And what about Mary? Mary didn't die for anybody's sins. I'm sorry. What about Confucius? Confucius didn't die for anybody's sins. I'm sorry. What about all the other religious leaders? Nobody died for their sins but Jesus Christ. He's the only one that said, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to raise the third day. Muhammad didn't say it. Confucius didn't say it. Mary didn't say it. They may have been great men, great women, meaning well, but guess what? None of them said they were your Savior. None of them said it was my Savior. And when Jesus cuts it right down the middle and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father. He means nobody. Nobody. You know, we live in a world right now and the world doesn't want to hear that. And so the world hates us. You're one of those people that believe Jesus is the only way. Well, I think Jesus believed that too because he said it. Well, I think God believes that too because God sent his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. I believe God is a proponent for that. But folks don't want to hear that. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in verse 17. The word became flesh and dwelt among us because the Bible says in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God and the word became flesh. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus. However, in changing times like these, bear with me just a moment, we see the truth evades us of what God states about marriage because it's being changed to include two men and two women. Along with man and woman. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
We see the truth evades us of an unborn child being changed to a woman's right to choose. Or we see the truth evades us of being fearfully and wonderfully made changed into transgenders. Let me read you something that was sent to me from the Christian Family Coalition just recently about transgender. It says, America is already feeling the repercussions of the unlawful mandates. An arrest was made at a Target in Idaho after a transgender woman, Sean Patrick Smith, was caught filming an 18-year-old girl in a dressing room. It's already starting. Did I not stand in this pulpit about 1 or 2 weeks ago and tell you, ladies, it's going to be rough on y'all more than anybody else? Because you're going to have all kinds of sexual perverts dressed up like a woman just to get their thrills and their kicks to video you or to view you or to see you. I'm telling you, we're in a bad way. Sean Patrick Smith was caught filming an 18-year-old girl in a dressing room. Mr. Smith admitted to not only filming this young girl, but many other women. Help us, Lord. Help us. How many innocent women must be violated in order for government to realize that these mandates only take away their rights, not add to them? Friday, May 13, 2016, the Obama administration issued a letter of guidance forcing all school districts in the United States to allow any boy to enter any girl's locker room, bathroom, or shower whenever they want. If anyone asks, all they have to say is they feel like a girl and may proceed to take all their clothes off and shower with girls. If states refuse to comply with this illegal order, Obama has threatened them with a federal lawsuit and the loss of federal funding for education. Help us, Lord. What am I talking about? In times like these. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my little faithy poo having to have to put up with that. I don't want my wife having to put up with that. But guess what? In times like these, that's where we're going. Why? The truth is being evaded. They're going away from the truth. It's kind of hard to find right now. It's kind of hard to define. Well, I have a book right now. It's called The Bible That Defines Truth. He says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. It's black and white. Well, it doesn't stop there. We see the truth evades us of marriage being honorable and all changed to shacking up and fornicating. So bad that if you stay shacked up and fornicated long enough, they'll call it common law marriage. Can you get amen?
Amen?
Well, you've been married long enough, you might as well be married. No, if you're not married, you're not married. Amen. And amen. And I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what President Obama says. Two men and two women does not equal a marriage. You read the book of Genesis and go all the way back to the beginning, man and woman. All the way from the beginning. I don't care what Obama says. You say, well, that's disrespect. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And that's what matters. By the way, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any Obama law up there. You say, preacher, what's it going to be? It's going to be the word of God. So it's best to start abiding by it now. Because you're not going to have, President Obama said I can get married. Well, I didn't tell you, so that's abomination. I was at somebody's house just recently and blessed their hearts. They said they went to go and talk to their neighbor about Jesus and invite him out. And they said that they talked to the female. And they told, hey, I want you to come out to Shine Light Baptist Church. And female went to go get what they thought was going to be the husband. And they bought another lady out. This is my wife. And the individual kind of gave one of those, I thought it was going to be Mr. and Mrs., but it's Mrs. and Mrs. And I said, you know what? They still need the gospel. I said, invite them out. They need the truth. They still need Jesus. Still witness them. They can still get saved and know that it's not right by God and get their lives together and turn that thing around. I said, still witness to them. Just because it's two women doesn't mean a hill of beans. They need to be saved. Still give them the gospel. We see the truth evades us of the local church influence being changed into a social club. You know, we're to the point where churches around the world now should be evangelizing people and getting them saved. And we're more concerned about being a social club and not wanting to let certain people in. And you stay out and you stay out and you can't come in. And because you look like this, you can't come in. And you're dressed like this, you can't come in. And so you stay out. This is our own little club and we're supposed to be evangelizing. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not a social club. God didn't want a social club for a local church. He wants sinners, men, women, boys, and girls. He wants people to be saved. And churches around the world, well, we're exclusive. We don't want your kind over here because you've got a mohawk. And you don't want you over here because you've got tattoos and you've got earrings and you're bald. You definitely can't be here. You can't be right with God. And your dress is too high and your shoes are too high and you're just too old and you're too young and you don't care. And who cares? Who cares? Hey, I'm telling you, I've been to churches before, and I've seen it. People come in, they get shunned because of that. And the gospel is supposed to go to everybody. And churches around the world want a social club. They want a Burger King. Let's have it our way. Let's do what we want to do. Last time I said it was a theocracy. It was God's way. But we're so busy bickering and fighting, infighting one with another. And you took my seat and you didn't do this and you didn't do this. We can't see anybody saved. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. What am I saying? Sanctify them by thy truth, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. On and on we could go about some certain things that are in times like these. However, in times like these, we need to stay faithful in the word when truth seems to evade us. Why? Because God's word does not change. Even when time changes, it still says what it says. Amen. And it's going to keep saying what it says until Jesus comes. He says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Today, we're going to consider some verses from Psalm 119. And the psalmist is in love with the word of God. And over again, he uses the phrase, thy word, thy word, thy word. And we'll see some of the verses used in Psalm 119 that contain the phrase, thy word, to gain some encouragement in times like these. Because I'm telling you, folks, if you're anything like me, these can be some discouraging times. They really can be. When we look at what our children are going to have to face, they're going to start teaching that two men and two women constitutes a marriage. They're going to start constituting that aborting a child, that's a woman's right to choose. They're already teaching these things. Already. And your children are going to have to face that. They're unformed right now. So you know what they'll readily do? Suck it up. If you don't teach them what the truth is, they'll readily suck it up. Because it's going to be mandatory in public schools. We need to get encouragement in times like these for our own time. But why should we be faithful in the word of God? Go to Psalm 119 very quickly. I want to show you a couple of verses here just by way of introduction. And we're not going to be with this long today. I will finish it up next week. Psalm 119. Because Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so I want us to see thy word here in Psalm 119. Why should we stay faithful in the word of God? Even before we get started, Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Notice Psalm 119 and verse number 40. Why should I be faithful in the word of God? He said, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. It's refined, it's pure, it's tried, it's proven. The psalmist said, thy word is very pure. It's not just pure. You know, there's certain things that are pure. And that means it's pretty good. But when you say it's very pure, I mean, that's just beyond compare. It's very pure. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 60, the psalmist says it this way, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning. By the way, back when God first gave the command to Adam and Eve and said, you shouldn't eat of the fruit of that tree, guess what? It was true then, it's still true today. From the beginning, it's true. The end, it's true. You say, well, preacher, the end hadn't been lived yet. It's still true, and it's still coming true. As prophecies are fulfilled day after day after day, it's still true. And by the way, it's so true that you and I will find ourselves in the book of Revelation. There will be those that get raptured out, like in chapter 4 when he said, come up hither. And there will be those that will appear before the great white throne judgment over there in chapter 20. And those that appear in the great white throne judgment have no chance to be born again because they gave it up. They forfeited it. That's scary. That's already in place. Guess what? That's not changing. So you're trying to scare us. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Thy word is truth. You go to chapter 20 and read it. You'll find yourself there. Say, preacher, let's go over there right now. Before you leave, I don't have time to look it up. I'll look it up for you. Revelation chapter 20. And again, this is not to scare you. This is to tell you the truth. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Chapter 20. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and should be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the beast and the false prophet. They're going straight to the lake of fire. They're not going to hell. Notice verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Well, I thought they were dead. They were. But guess what they got? resurrected to show why they're going to have eternal death. He said, I didn't know the dead could be raised. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thought once we died, we were just in the body. We didn't exist anymore. We were annihilated. That's what some religions teach, but that's not true. Where do you think your thoughts go? Where do you think your mind goes? Where do you think your emotion, where do you think your memory goes? Do you think it just snaps out? Where do you think your soul goes? Where do you think your spirit goes? The Bible says it goes back to be with God, where it came from. To be judged, to go down or to go up. Notice what it says there. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Say, well, wait a minute, I've done a lot of good works. And all this talking about the works you try to do to get to heaven. There is no work that you can do to get to heaven except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, what shall we do to work the works of God? He said, believe on him whom he has sent. That's Jesus Christ. In other words, saying, being born again, receive Christ. They were judged. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Say, preacher, who is this? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. How do I get in the book of life? By getting born again, by getting saved, by asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins, by turning from your sins, turning to Jesus Christ, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, believing it was for you, calling on him to save you, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Lord, have mercy on my soul. I'm not what I need to be. Lord, save my wretched soul. I don't think my soul is so wretched. You will when you get it compared to the Word of God. That's the problem. The truth is evading us. And we're lining up by Obama, and we're lining up by Clinton, and we're lining up by Trump, and we're lining up by Bush, and we're lining up by Carter, and we're lining up by presidents. Hey, we got to line up by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his word is truth. His word is truth. Back in Psalm 119, thy word is truth in the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We just read this morning in the Sunday school hour, about Luke's account of the temptation of Christ. And if you study the area out, you will notice that Jesus used scripture every time Satan tempted him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What am I saying? You and I need to use scripture. By the way, Jesus frequently used scripture in giving answers to life's questions. Let me read something to you here. And you have to write these verses down. During his temptation, for instance, Jesus picked up the weapon that Eve so foolishly threw away called the Word of God. When tempted to command stones to make bread, he quoted from his Bible, man should not live by bread alone, in Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy 8:3 as well. When the devil misquoted the Bible and dared him to throw himself down from a pinnacle of the temple, Jesus accurately quoted from his Bible, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, out of Matthew 4:7 and Deuteronomy 6:16. When the devil offered him the kingdoms of this world, if he would worship him, Jesus quoted from his Bible, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, Matthew 4:10 and Deuteronomy 6:13. When Jesus referred to John the Baptist and Elijah in Matthew 17:10 and 13, he based what he said on Malachi 4:5 and 6. When he spoke to the question of divorce, he spoke from Matthew 19:4 and 6 and 8. He referred to Genesis 2:24 and Deuteronomy 24:1. When he accused the leaders of Israel of turning the temple into a den of thieves in Matthew 21:13. He quoted from Isaiah 56:7 and Jeremiah 7:11. When he silenced his critics at the time of his triumphant entry into Jerusalem in Matthew 21:16, he quoted from Psalm 8:2. When he explained why he spoke in parables in Matthew 13:14, he quoted from Isaiah 6:9 and 10. When he called his enemies hypocrites in Matthew 15:7, he referred them to Isaiah 29:13. When they accused his disciples of breaking the Sabbath and offending their traditions in Matthew 12, he referred them to 1 Samuel 21. The list could go on and on. Jesus, the perfect one, heard the word of God, applied the word of God, and used the word of God over and over and over and over again. Why? It works. It works. People are either going to accept it or they're going to hate it. And I may submit this, that many haters are out there. You give them the word of God and they hate it. You tell them, well, this is what the Bible says you ought to do. Well, I'm not going to do that. They hate it. Why? It goes against what they want to do. But Jesus always referred to Scripture often in his answers to people. Why? It is that which you and I need. Getting into our outline. In times like these, stay faithful in word when truth seems to evade us, when truth seems to be changing into something else. You and I need something that we can hold on to. What should we consider? First of all, number one, in times like these, stay faithful in the word because it can cleanse us from sin. Starting in the beginning of this verse in chapter number one of Psalm 119, the psalmist begins talking about how much he loves the word of God. And then he makes a twist, it seems, coming up to verse 9. He says, "Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Every verse that we use from Psalm 119 will contain those two words, thy word. And he says, how can I cleanse my way? How can I make my way clean? By heeding your word. First and foremost, no matter what times we are in, it's always time to be right with God. Can I get an amen? I don't care what time we're in. I don't care if it's 1960, I don't care if it's 1970, 80, 2010, 2012. It's always a time to be right with God. Say, preacher, why is that so important? Because you don't know when your time is up. You may complain about these times, but you may never see any more times. And so it behooves you and I to make sure, I don't care what the times are doing, I don't care what the times are like, that the time to get right with God is now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. In times like these, stay faithful in the word. It can cleanse us of sin. With the word of God as our guide, we don't have to give in to the humanistic philosophy of the world and its ideals. The world cleanses. My son now is into washing clothes. And my wife is training him how to wash clothes. And he doesn't really get thrilled about it. But I think he would get thrilled about it if he knew how they washed him back in the old days. How many of y'all remember the old scrub board in the backyard that sort of looked like the wall and had the ridges in there? And you had to take one piece of clothing at a time and dip it in the water in the wash bucket and rub it up against those ridges. And then you had to take it over to the wringer and wring it out. And you couldn't put it in the dryer because there was no electricity. Not in the country, at least. And so you had to go over to the clothesline. Kids were saying, what? It's called a clothesline. Preacher, why is it called clothesline? Because it's a line and you put clothes on it. And you put them things up there one at a time. And woe be it if you had a dust storm. Woe be it if the hogs got loose and knocked down the line. And it was a rainy day. You had to go back to the laundry. And guess what the laundry was? That washboard, that bucket, one at a time, ringing over to the clothesline. GT, you got it made. Elijah, you got it made. Young folk, y'all got it made. Adam, you got it made. One at a time. For us sophisticated folk now, we get all the whites and the darks, and we throw them in the washing machine. The psalmist could say, how can I clean my clothes? But instead he said, how can I cleanse my life? And it's the same principle. You need that washboard. You need to be rubbed up against something that ain't going to move. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hey, the word of God ain't going to move. You got to rub it against that board and scrub it against that board. You're like those clothes. You're pliable. Dip you in the water of the word of God and put you over here on the water board here and rub some sin out of you, amen, and wring some sin out of you and hang you up on the line for a while and let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow in your life some and dry you out and smooth you out. Didn't have no fabric softener back in them days that I know of. You put that stuff on hard and crusty. Unless you got some coals in your skillet and put that thing on your skillet for the iron came. The old-fashioned irons look bad. Look bad. Amen. Amen. What am I saying here? The psalmist says, first and foremost, no matter what times they're in, I need to be right with God. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? I need a washboard of the word of God. I need the water of the word of God. I need the wind of the Holy Spirit. I need to be trying out God's way. Hey, we can heed and obey the word of God and claim the promises that are true. Cleanse has the idea of being cleaned up or cleared up or pured up or innocent or transparent. The washing machine example has the agitator in there. I like that. You know, they're making it without agitators now. How many of y'all got a washing machine that doesn't have an agitator in it? A couple of y'all. I went to my mom's house, and she's just got the round thing. And I looked, I say, no agitator. Now, I'm going to get my clothes clean. I need something to rub up against my clothes. I say, no agitator in there. A whole bunch of agitators outside the washing machine, but none inside. Amen. And my wife put them in there, and it got them clean. I don't know how that works, but it works. That agitator, though, gets in there, and the agitator does the same thing that washboard does, amen, and that's what we need, and that's what the Word of God does. And so in times like these, the psalmist says, you know what, I need to be cleansed of my sin, because these times may be shifting, and these times may be moving. They may be all over the place, but guess one thing that doesn't shift, amen, the Word of God. It's tried, it's proven, it ain't changing, it's going to stay the same, it's not going anywhere, it's not getting old, it's not getting better, it is already best, amen. Word of God ain't going anyplace. By the way, if you're not with it, you better get with it, because it's going to be trying you in the end. Amen. Best to line up with it now. In times like these, stay faithful in the Word. It can cleanse us of sin. But then in times like these, number two, stay faithful in the Word. It can keep us from sin. He goes on down there in verse number 10 to say this. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, you know what? I've got something else here. In times like these, I only not just need to cleanse myself of sin, but I need to keep myself from sin. By the way, in times like these, it's always a time to be cleansed of sin. Why? We're always sinning. We talked about temptation in Sunday school this morning. You know, you're going to be tempted every day of every hour of your life with something. It's worse if you live in Europe. Am I right? You got naked stuff all over the place. You think it's bad on our TV right now. You go to Europe. I mean, there is nothing sacred over there. Nobody wears any clothes. I mean, everything is naked. And I mean, it can blow your mind if you're not careful. Amen. And by the way, it should blow your mind, even if you are careful. It should shock you. And he said, I know I'm in a filthy times right now. I know I'm in a filthy lifestyle. And how can I have my way cleansed? I'm taking heed. My whole heart, I'm seeking you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. But he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's going to keep me from sin. Secondly, we need to keep right with God no matter the times. Kids have chore lists and they have to do. Amen. And you know what that chore list is designed to do? To let them see what they are supposed to do. And guess what? If they get it all right, they're in their parents' graces. In their parents' favor. If they don't get it right, guess what? They got to go back and redo it. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. My whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Kids' chore list written down so they know what to do and how to stay right with parents. And you and I, we need to know what to do and what God states. And it's going to keep us from sin. By the way, in Psalm 119, 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 and verse 33, he says, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What is he saying? He's saying, thy word, thy word, thy word. I need your word, Lord, thy word, thy word. Say, preacher, what else can help? Well, not only in times like these, we need to stay cleansed of sin. In times like these, stay faithful to the word to keep us from sin, but in times like these, stay faithful in the word by keeping it stored. In that same verse there, Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I thought it was fitting this morning. I normally do my devotions and I have several prayer lists that I go by. And I've got this one, praying 31 days to pray for your pastor's wife. And you say, well, you're the pastor. I know. But I use that to pray for my wife. And I use other things to pray for her as well. But I use this one, and it made me laugh when I read day 7, which is today. It said, pray that your pastor's wife will remember truth. Remember truth. What did John 17:17 say? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And it said, pray that your pastor's wife will remember truth, and practical principles from the Word of God during times of trial. This precious lady has a mom that's on the verge of dying right now with cancer. And very few of the siblings are helping. And it seems like all the medical doctors are running her around, and she doesn't drive, and she needs to depend on people to get everything for her. And the sisters and the brothers are arguing back and forth, and she's got to be the go-between way back here. And she's got three precious children she's mothering and trying to take care of. She's got a pastor and a husband that she's trying to take care of. She's got a church full of ladies that she's trying to minister to and take care of. And I came to that, and I said, wow, talk about fitting. Pray that your pastor's wife will remember truth and practical principles from the Word of God during times of trial, and that the Scriptures will bring her comfort. Pray that the Word will become her delight and song when circumstances are tough. Then it references Psalm 119, 28, and 52. Turn over there with me, Psalm 119, verse 28. And I'm sure not just the pastor's wife, but many wives and men as well can relate to verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. In other words, my inner being, it seems to be just melting and dripping away like ice cream would, or like an ice cube. It's melting. My soul melteth for heaviness. It's so heavy, it's drooping, it's melting. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. The psalmist said, I'm melting because of the circumstances. In times like these, everything's going on around me, and my life seems to be like an ice cube, or like some chocolate, or like something that's melting away. My very existence seems to be dripping away. And I need to be restored. I need to be strengthened. The psalmist said, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. The other reference it gives over in 52, verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I remember the word gone by that I trusted in before, and it did me well. It served me right. It got me out. It got my feet on the solid ground. It got me stabilized. It got me established. It got me settled. It got me strengthened, and I got comfort. It's going to happen again. It's not going to always be like this. In times like these times will not always be. I've got God's word on it. It's going to get better. Better days are ahead. And so 52, the psalmist says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I went to the Lord this morning and said, Lord, you know exactly what I need to hear when I need to hear it. What am I saying? The psalmist said, you know what, in times like these, we need to be faithful in the word because it can cleanse us of sin. Number two, in times like these, we need to stay faithful in the word. It can keep us from sin. Number three, in times like these, stay faithful in the word by keeping it stored against sin and sinful times. A good memory bank for the word of God is good all times. Why? All times the word of God is good. All the times the word of God is needful. And you're going to always have times like these. Folks, if it's not Trump, if it's not Hillary, it'll be the Chinese. If it's not the Chinese, it'll be the Russians. If it's not the Russians, it's going to be the economy. If it's not the economy, it's going to be your boss. If it's not the boss, it's going to be your pay. If it's not your pay, it's going to be your children. It's going to be your wife. It's going to be your grandma. It's going to be your granddad. It's always going to be somebody in changing times like these. What we need is the Word of God, which doesn't change. We can dig our heels in there, put our feet on it, be firm in it, stay faithful in it, and say, although the world shakes around me, I'm not going to be moved. I need the Word of God. I need the Bible. I need the book. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart unto me that I may do the will of God through them. Hey, I don't know about you, but that's what I need. That's what I want. I don't know about you, but I need the Word of God. The person that says they can get along without it really don't know what it's like. They don't really know what it's like. Until you've had a daily dose of it over a period of time, you really don't know what you're missing. You really don't. Folks, let me leave you with this thought. We'll pick up with this next week. Over and over again in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, joying in the word of God. He's going through afflictions. He's going through hard times. He's going through betrayal. He's going through mistrust. He's going through discouragement. He's got so many things that he's going through. But he says, through it all, thy word is what I need. Thy word is what I need. Now, if you can identify with that today, ask yourself and ask the Lord, Lord, give me a greater desire for your word. Lord, give me that desire so that when I go through these times and these circumstances, when all around me is chaotic and seems to be changing, and I can be steadfast, I can be unmovable, I can be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, give me that desire, Lord. Give me that appetite for the word of God, because temptations are going to come, tests are going to come. The word of God helps with all tests of time. It really does. Why? Thy word is true. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need eternal life. He says, and this is eternal life over there in John 17. They may know thee, the only true God, and his son, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. If you're not saved today, if you died today, if you are not 100% sure heaven is your home, you need to be born again. Won't you come and let us take the truth, the word of God, just a few moments of your time and show you how you can be born again today. And you won't end up in chapter 20 where the lake of fire is at. You can be in heaven where Dorothy's at and many other saints. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father, bless now the invitation today. Lord, in times like these, we need to stay faithful in the word. Thy word is truth. You said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lord, times are changing all around us, but that's going to always be going on. Lord, help us to have the heart to know that we need the word of God. Bless now that man, woman, boy, or girl is hanging in the balance, needing to make a decision today and bring them to Christ in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, if you're born again today, if you were to die this moment, and you're 100% sure that heaven is your home, would you raise your hand as a testimony to Almighty God, saying, I know I'm born again. If I died right now, I know heaven is my home. I know I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not talking about your baptism or your church membership. Amen. Amen. You may put them down, hands going up all over the place. How many in the sound of my voice, being honest before God, would say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I am concerned about it, but I am not absolutely sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? And you'd be honest enough to raise your hand, saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Amen. I see one. I see two. Amen. You may put him down. Is there a third one? You'd say, preacher, by raising my hand, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Amen. I see that one. Anyone else that joined these? I'm not 100% sure I'm a Christian, but I'm concerned about it. Preacher, pray for me. I won't point you out. I won't come and call you out. Amen. You can put that hand down. I see it. Is there another? Pray for me, preacher. This is what I'd like you to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you raise your hand saying that you're not sure that heaven is your home, but you want me to pray for you, I want you to look at me just for a moment. Everybody else, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you like, we can take a Bible and show you how to get that thing settled today. During the invitation, if you like it, we can take a Bible and show you how to get it settled. But you have to come to me. I cannot come to you. If you're sincere and you're sure, come during the invitation. Say, preacher, can someone show me how to be saved? And we'll show you how to be saved. You can put your heads back down. Father, thank you for the honesty of these dear folks. God, give them the faith and the courage to step forward. Get it settled today. They may join the ranks of those that have trusted your word to be true from the beginning. And God, bring salvation like you always do when the word of God is given to a precious heart that's been prepared. And God, bless now the many hands that went up saying that they know they're saved. But Lord, then help them to have a greater desire for your word during times like these, that they can have the word to cleanse them, to keep them from sin, and to keep them strengthened during these times. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking around. As Miss Natasha plays the hymn, won't you come? Or you raise your hand saying you want to get it settled. Would you come? Let us take a Bible. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking around. As she plays, you come. You come. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you come. You come. You come. Christians, pray. Pray for hearts to be open. Pray for hearts to be receptive. Pray for your own faithfulness in the Word of God. Pray that God will use you. Would you come? Would you come? The doors are open. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one that their desire would increase. Maybe you pray that you'd be sanctified a little bit more by the truth. God's word is truth. Man, women, boy, girl, would you come? Would you come? Kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Pray for yourself. Pray for a loved one. Their needs many. Needs are plenty. In times like these, things are changing. How will you instruct your child when he comes home and says, Mama, there's two men in my class, parents of this person. Say they're married. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? I hope you give them thy truth. Thy word is truth. What are you going to give them? Man, woman, boy, or girl, where are you at? Times like these, things are changing all around. Our churches are changing. People want Burger King, they don't want church. Society's changing. People want their rights. They don't want godliness. Schools are changing. You can do pretty much whatever you want to in the showers and locker rooms. Workplaces are changing. You can talk all filthy language you want to, but you can't mention Jesus. Times are changing. Times are changing. In times like these, you need the Savior. In times like these, you need the Bible. Times are changing. The only thing that's not going to change is the Word of God. Stay in it. Love it, live it, embrace it. All others change and turn on you. The Word of God will not change. It will not turn. Would you be saved today? Would you be born again today? Maybe you need to get baptized. Surrender yourself to baptism today. Maybe you need to find a good fundamental Bible preaching church to join. Maybe you need to join the church today. Maybe there's something God pointed out in your life that you need to get it right today. Would you do it? Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. In times like these, stay faithful in the word when the truth seems to evade us. Father, thank you for the honesty of these that came. Lord, maybe others that need to come, but Lord, don't have the courage right now. God, I pray you'd work in their hearts. Help them to recognize the brevity of life and, Lord, the eternality of eternity. Lord, whether it's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, I pray that you would help them to get it settled today. They would leave the premises without accepting Christ as Savior and being born again and repenting of sin and believing the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and calling on Jesus Christ to save them, turning from their sin and turning to the Savior. And for us as Christians, God, help us to stay faithful in the Word because it'll cleanse us of sin. It'll keep us from sin. It'll keep us strengthened in this time of sin. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you in a marvelous and miraculous way, Lord. Meet the need that is here. All of us need to be faithful in times like these in the Word of God. Give that one a faith to get saved today and trust and confidence in Almighty God and the Word of God. That you, Lord, would give eternal life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us. Dismiss us with your blessings, God, and lead us in the way of everlasting. Max, Brother Sarah, do you